Hello and welcome to Ground Podcast, a show about game development, adventures, music and everything in between. I have said this already more than 10 times, yeah! Today we have a very, very timely sort of episode. I'm chatting with Gregor Müller. I have no idea how to pronounce his surname correctly, sorry. He's a developer of mystery murder adventure Casebook 1899, The Leipzig Murders. He's running a Kickstarter right now, so you can listen to this podcast and check out his Kickstarter page and pledge. As of today, two-thirds of the campaign is gone and there are already two-thirds of funding pledged. So go and support while he tells us about where this all adventure stuff is coming from. Shandy, take it away! Congratulations on the start of the Steam Next Fest.
Thank you.
What happened yesterday?
I don't know, I've never streamed, and it seems like to build a game you need one kind of PC, and to stream a game you need a whole different kind of setup. So I don't know. I'm gonna repeat the developer stream on Friday. Yeah, it was like I had trouble setting it up all day. I literally spent all day setting it up, and then I was just happy that anything was transmitted, because I couldn't do it directly from Steam for some reason, and I'm working on a Mac, so you don't have that option on the Mac Steam to stream your games. So I had to use OBS, but at the same time I tried to install, you know, an emulated version of Steam with Parallels of Windows with Parallels. Jesus. and that didn't work, and yeah, so I thought I had to cancel it altogether, and then I was just happy that I could send something, and then I realized it's blocky, and yeah, so then it just cut out.
Yeah, because it was interesting, and best of luck for you for Friday.
Thank you.
Actually, that was my question. Are you planning to have a second stream, as we are limited only for two? It's really, it's a pity that I would love to have three, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, after seeing what it did to the Kickstarter, it's I would love to make a third one, because I think it was one of the best days in the last 2 weeks. A lot of people decided to. I don't know. It's always hard to see where they came from. Is it like the demos? Because the Steam Next Fest, I have to say, it really, really helps with the numbers as the wish lists are suddenly skyrocketing with like hundreds of new wish lists every day. I think the number of people who played the demo have also like doubled in 2 days or something like that. So yeah, that actually really, really helps.
It's a nice boost of confidence as well.
Exactly. It's really good. I kind of, knowing that, I think I would probably would have set another date for the Kickstarter, like maybe this week or maybe last week, but to have this kind of boost a bit earlier.
You would love to start it later a bit, to be in terms with the Steam schedule, of course. What painful lessons have you learned so far in these 2 weeks?
Well, I think the pain, well, that wasn't news to me, but it's like if you can't get above, like, it's what they say. It's basically, I learned, it's like all the things you read online about Kickstarters. It's true. It's like, it's really important to have a strong start. I'm a lot in contact with Eva, who's also having a Kickstarter right now. She started the week after me with a Twisted Tale, which is also a really nice looking point and click adventure, though it's a completely different style. And she had a really strong start. She had a dedicated fan base, and it's like, I think the lesson is, you have to do everything to start strong, but there's no guarantees that you will. Like, I think I've had like more Twitter followers than her, but I think her fan base was also a bit more dedicated. Like, she had more reactions, though she had less Twitter followers. And yeah, she had an amazing start, and she's now like 1 week in. I think it's 1 week, and she's like at 75%, so there's no trouble there. It will get funded, and I hope she reaches all the stretch goals. But I'm sitting there still hoping that the Steam Next Fest will help me. I mean, there's still half of the time to go, and we need like 40% of the money still. There's a possibility that it will get funded, but it looks like it won't. I'm reviewing like what are the mistakes I made. I don't know, is the game maybe too serious? Doesn't it have enough humor? But I think you showed with your Kickstarter that it's like it's also quite a serious game, I think, that's not a
lot of people put too much humor, I think, even when it is not needed. And
I agree, like a lot of, especially the point and click adventures that you see, that they're really serious, or also a lot they're really humorous. I think there's like two trends. It's like, either I'm gonna talk about my depression, or I'm gonna make a really humorous game. And I think we kind of lost the middle ground, like serious games that don't want to teach you anything. I mean, you know, I love serious games. There's really, really good serious games that want to teach you something out there. But I don't think everything needs to be about that. I think we can also have games as entertainment, and but they're not goofy, and they do have adult themes. So yeah, I think there's space for that.
Of course.
But maybe you need to be more extreme. I don't know.
Is it your first game? I obviously did some digging around. I wouldn't call it digging, but read some stuff, and I did not quite understood. Is it your first game or not?
Yeah. It is actually my first game, and I came to this from a completely different angle. I studied archaeology, and then, as so many other people who studied archaeology, I ended up in working with the TV shows. I was a researcher, or I still am a researcher, for historic documentaries, and so there was always this interest in story, in history. And I think 6 or 7 years ago, I decided to write a book, like a historic crime fiction set in Leipzig, like in my hometown. Mm-hmm. And it got picked up for a sequel, so it's now a book series. And then I thought, okay, but I always wanted to tell stories digitally. I when I grew up, I loved playing games. I loved playing adventure games, of course. I think you can see that I love the LucasArts games. I decided to try to get into this game development, really, because I thought now it's so accessible that even I can do it, not having a technical background. I mean, I was like, when I grew up, I was always close to a PC. I learned a little bit of Python scripting, but I was never, I would never say I was really a programmer or anything. And yeah, and then with Visionary Studio, I thought, okay, I'll get into this. I see what I can do. I can see what kind of story I can tell. And then I realized that the characters from my book and this kind of world from my books, that would work really well also as a game.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I realized that a lot of things that I had never thought about actually made really a lot of sense in the game, like the hint system. And so I just, like, the first half year I just tried it out. I also tried other things. I also tried Unity, and I gave up like after a week because I said, wow, it's been a week and I can move, like, you know, an indefinite shape from left to right, so at this pace it will never be finished. And that's why I then looked into Visionary Studio, and I found it really accessible and but at the same time strong enough to offer me to do what I wanted to do. So yeah, the first half year was like a bit trying to build the first few scenes, trying out what works, what doesn't work, like different gameplay mechanics that haven't been tried in Visionary Studio yet. And I realized, okay, I can make this work. But then who am I? Some kind of writer who never made a game? Am I just going to Kickstarter and say, okay, hi, I'm Gregor, give me your money? That would be, I mean, I wouldn't give money to myself with that. So I said, okay, I'm gonna do the first case completely as a demo, as a free demo, mm-hmm. so people can see for themselves if I'm up to the task.
Exactly.
So that's
yeah.
my way into it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was exactly my point of starting as well, that you have to make a demo to get funding. Well,
yeah,
if you don't
yeah.
have money. So.
Yeah, I mean, if you look, I spent the last half year, like the development was of the demo was, well, I say finished around February, but in from December, that is also something, a lesson I learned, far too late, I started to go public with the game and to have a Steam page and so on, and the Twitter account. Uh-huh. And yeah, that was far too late because I completely underestimated how much work it is to build the community. And yeah, so that took a lot of time away. And yeah, and then with the demo, that of course really helps.
Of course, yeah. But what surprised me during Kickstarter is that, like, majority of people don't bother to play the demo.
Yeah,
in the end.
It's true. It's true. Yeah.
It was weird. Like,
it was really weird.
I made it for you.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's like when I looked at other Kickstarter projects. Which of course I did a lot in research before I did my own Kickstarter page. It's like the projects that don't have a demo out, they're really struggling. I mean, most of them fail. It's like, if you want to make a game on Kickstarter, have a demo ready, even though no one is playing it. Like my Steam download numbers are really, well, now they're better with the Steam Next Fest, but mm-hmm. they've been far lower than the number of people who pledged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You got a point there. Why? Well, then I assume, since you're a published writer and researcher and archaeologist, yes.
Yeah, all of those.
Yeah, you had not enough hats, you needed the new ones, apparently.
exactly, yeah. No, it's like, I always say, like people say, oh, but you don't know how to do that. It's like, yeah, that's why I'm learning it. That's what mm-hmm. interests me. It's like, I want to learn new things. I get bored easily and I need a new challenge. So, in my free time, when I'm not researching for films, I'm always trying to tackle something new. And the last year has been incredible with the things. As a solo developer, what you're learning, it's incredible. It's like, well, you're doing everything yourself, so of course you learn a lot of new things.
But along the way, you also meet new people, I presume.
Yeah, so many of them. Like, it honestly wouldn't be possible with all the people I've met, like people like you who invite me to their podcasts, but also the community of the... Yeah, no, it's like so many people who see it and want to help you, like this amazing artist who drew the cover for the game. Uh-huh. It's like she did it because she wanted to do it, you know. I wanted to give her something for that, but she was like, oh yeah, no, I'd do it. And it's just like you need a lot of people who want to help you, and also the community of the Visionaire Studio, they're so amazing. It's like you can always go on the forum and they always help you out. And they will even push it on to the developers if there's something that's not working, and they will tweak it after a few weeks.
That's really amazing.
Yeah. That's really cool, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's exactly my experience as well. People are ready to help you for some vague idea. Probably You even don't know fully. So amazing community.
Yeah, definitely. Also on Twitter, sorry, it's like so many people had negative experiences on Twitter, and I was like, oh, I don't want to be, but I have to be somewhere, and I don't feel Facebook is the right place to do, you know, the social marketing. So I decided for Twitter, having this thought of, oh, who knows how much negativity, be ready for the... And it's been half a year, no negativity, not even once. I mean, this is not an invitation, but everyone
has
been really
nice.
But
exactly my experience as well, yes. Probably, we're not in that genre. Where this niche is too small to behave bad, say like that.
Yeah.
We're gonna find
it. The indie dev community is really nice.
Why pixel art? Is this that you can't do anything better, or is this because you as you said you loved
early games? Yeah, it's a bit of both. it's a bit of both. It's like I loved the LucasArts games. I loved Indiana Jones, of course. I mean, I studied archaeology. It had to come from somewhere. So I loved Fate of Atlantis, So that is one part of it. But the second answer to this question is like, yeah, that definitely, because I'm not an artist and I'm not good at drawing things. I decided to, you know, it's just much less work to do an animation for a character in pixel art style, because you're just moving so many pixels around. And that is, it's a scope I can manage. So I still want it to look nice. That's why I have someone who actually works for me on the pixel art.
Uh-huh.
So I draw the backgrounds, for example. I draw them and then I give them to someone who knows a bit more about differing and all these special techniques, and he has the color palette under control, things that I just don't know, and he then makes them so much better. And yeah, so that is something I have helped with.
Amazing, man.
Interestingly, you know, with Ron Gilbert announcing a new Monkey Island, and everyone was disappointed it's not pixel art.
That drama,
said, you know,
oh my god, man.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, yeah, then by the same logic, my project should already be funded, you know, if everyone likes pixel art that much. It's such a stupid... Well, but what he said was... He said, we didn't set out to do pixel art games back then. Yep. We did the best bloody graphics that were technically possible at the time. And it's like, I'm doing the same. I'm doing the best graphics I'm able to do. So you're getting the best of me and a really nice project. But yeah, otherwise, if it would have been a hand-drawn or beautifully rendered with 3D characters project, it would just get never finished. So yeah, that is definitely like half of the answer.
It scales up really, really fast.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But you still, you put this game as a, like more on a hobby side at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. What, so this is a hobby.
What happens if Kickstarter doesn't play out as we all want?
Well, you see, there's a lot of two parts of answers, because now I'm going to tell you the second part of the answer I gave you earlier, like why I made the complete demo beforehand. And that is like, I always said, Gregor, you know, there's a distinct chance the Kickstarter doesn't work. Then what do you do? You have like, and I hate to have things unfinished. And that's why I said, okay, I want the complete first case out there. I want the people to be able to play this case. And if the Kickstarter is successful, there will be more cases. But if not, I don't want it to be, you know, with an open end. I don't want something that's not finished. So, so that's the answer also now to your question. It's like the demo will continue to be available. Just this one case, and then I will have another project. I mean, I won't stop making games. It's quite addictive, actually.
That's amazing to hear.
Yeah, and then, you know, there's already so many ideas for new projects. I definitely have to... if the Kickstarter is successful, I put all my energy into making this game, and then we can, after 2023, we can see what's the next project. But if not, yeah, there's other projects that are already, you know, when I can't sleep, I think about them. Though now I'm still putting all my energy into Casebook 1899.
When you can't sleep, do you... toy with an idea about full-time game dev stuff?
I always like to think about every possibility. So like I thought about what happens if the Kickstarter fails, but then I thought also about what if the Kickstarter is incredibly successful. You get like 200, 300 times what you're asking. Then that would have been like I'm now at the point in my life where I'm already self-employed as a researcher. I can shift this away and do a bit more game development work and have this like as, well, not my main job, but, you know, a job to pay myself a salary. But I think that's not in the cards anymore, realistically, looking at how the Kickstarter goes. So this will definitely continue to be a hobby, like the writing. It's like, you know, My wife always says, Gregor, why can't you pick up a hobby that actually pays something, like stock trading or something?
A year ago, Bitcoin.
I don't know. I think it's... but I think that's over two now. Bad today. Mm. Yeah, but still, it's like... I want to do things that I really want to do. So that's why I'm developing this game and why I'm writing the books. It's like, you know, you're definitely not getting rich with books. And but it's just like, I like to express, well, yeah, that's why I called the game studio that I will then fund if the Kickstarter is successful. It's called Homo Narrans Studio. Yeah. It's like Homo Narrans. It's the idea that we're not Homo sapiens, because other animals are thinking too. What divides us from animals? It's like we are storytelling, and as of now we're the only species that tells stories. And I thought, yeah, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to tell stories, as books, as games, as whatever comes next.
I
think I can
good.
I can say I will never make music. I'm completely, yeah, that's something I'm not able to do at all. I have no musical capabilities.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I'm on pause. I just saw, I'm looking at your cover art, and I saw the hand out of the trains, whatever that is called.
Yeah, that is a second case. Well, I'm not so sure yet if how I will, you know, order the cases. Like, the demo will definitely be the first one because it's a tutorial, but a later case has then a dead body in that part of a train. Don't know what it's called in English.
Well, man, I wish you all the success. This is the smallest podcast in the universe, so, but hopefully it will get something.
Yeah, sure. I mean, every little thing helps, and you never know who's listening. It's like I like to do everything. It's because I'm still learning. I mean, just talking to you, I can learn a lot of things. I mean, you've had two Kickstarters already, and one of them has been successful.
Barely, so, but yes.
Yeah, but you know, you got there. And that's what counts. That's all that counts with Kickstarter, getting there or not getting there.
Yeah.
You don't sound convinced.
Well, no, yes. It's just, I also remember, when anyone talks about Kickstarter, that how your brain is pretty mashed up for a month and a half, at least. Because you're constantly thinking about it, you're thinking where to spam, who to annoy with your information, and I don't know how it is with you, but I kind of want to do this full time, so it was...
Yeah, I mean, that's a dream, but... Yeah, it's definitely a Kickstarter is nerve-wracking. I found that it's like probably the few days before were the worst. It's like when the day I clicked on, you know, on all the buttons to release the new trailers, to release the actual Kickstarter, you know, mm-hmm. the email goes out and everything. I was like, I packed up my things and I went and helped my dad paint his living room, and didn't look at it like, well, I don't want to lie, I looked at it a few times during the day, but not as much as I would have if I was just sitting here working from home. And so that was the best thing to do, and I think that took the, like, clicking on it, releasing it, took the pressure out of it. The weeks before, it was really like, oh yeah, should I have contacted more streamers, or did I time that right? Because there again, people want to help, and you're like, they ask you, when should I release this interview, podcast, or stream? And you're saying, yeah, I don't know, the week before, or is it better on the day? Or, but
yeah,
you don't want everything to come out the same day. No. So you just, yeah, that was really stressful the weeks before.
Okay, yeah, you're... How much you lived? Your agony will end in 2 weeks, exactly.
In 2 weeks, exactly. It's like, again, I talked with other developers, and they were like, yeah, I can't. It's like, I can't wait for it to be over, but at the same time, it's really cool because you're getting to know so many people, and because you're so active with it, you're constantly in contact with cool people who also want to help the project. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I definitely saw some gray hairs that were not there before.
True.
I'm gonna say that. Yeah.
Well, Friday must go well, you hear? And I think you have all the chances still.
Yeah, there's still a chance. I don't know. Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
There's still a few things that I've planned. We'll see how much they work.
Okay, I'm not, we'll see. What have you planned?
Well, it's like interview. No. It's like I desperately to try to get in touch with the local media, because it's, you know, it's a real place and it has this interest for people from here. And so I'm waiting for the biggest newspaper to release an interview I gave them a week ago. So yeah, that is definitely something, because yeah, I mean, that plays also into this other question. What have I learned? Like, I'm asking myself, was it a good idea to have the game like for the German but the international market at the same time? Like, I don't think it was a mistake to have it voiced in German, because I only heard good things about that. Mm-hmm. But I think it was really difficult for me to kind of market it in Germany and in English-speaking countries, like, and internationally, not just English-speaking countries.
Could be.
At the same place. Yeah.
Actually, I'm a bit surprised I'm a bit surprised about numbers, because Germany, like, at least in my eyes, is like the capital country of point and clicks and of adventures.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's like everyone says that. It's like if you talk to a point and click developer who was on Kickstarter, they're like, yeah, at least 60, probably 70% of the money came from Germany and then all the other countries.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it's a really strong market. So I don't think the German voiceover was the German voices were a mistake, but maybe then it was a mistake to call it Casebook. Maybe I should have called it the German name Fallbuch 1899. Yeah, but I don't know.
But that you is, have that 2 weeks. All things... Yeah, just focus on your local stuff. Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do now. I mean, I'm still talking to you, but. I'm trying to get a bit more people in Germany to talk about it.
Because we have no Latvia has no such characteristics as being big point and clickers, and sometimes people ask me how big the part was of Latvian local pledgers, and I say 10 people.
Oh wow.
But wow. You have totally different case.
Yeah, it's completely different for Germany. It's like
come on, Germans, step up.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, remember where you live and
yeah. Okay, that's it for me. As I promised, that will be a small tidy bit of an interview, because
thank you for having me.
So, here you go. Now, again, if you have not already, go and check out his Kickstarter. Also, get yourself a coffee. I know I will. And who knows, maybe one of the next podcasts we will have someone outside game development. Good idea? I think it is. But we'll see. So yeah, cheerio.